And his name is Show. Hear the sounds of a sexy voice. And his name is Show. And his name is Show. Come on. Come on. 1980s rap. 19.
Yeah. Come on.
Take it to the edge. Take it to the edge. Yeah.
Have you watched The Get Down?
I haven't. I definitely
watched it. Is it good?
Yeah, you should definitely watch it. It's completely over the top, but it's so good.
Word. What up, y'all? What up? We here one more again. This is Off the Record twice.
Mm-hmm.
We came back for since last week. It's crazy.
We're not throwing out excuses right now about why we weren't back for a couple months.
Where's Dave? Is he still on tour?
No, he is in Athens right now. He is tour, but he's in the state.
David, it's all right. We got better.
Yeah, we have.
He took exception to your live tweeting potentially of his.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
What did he say?
You should listen to 4th and 10.
Oh, check it out.
He talks about it.
All right. We'll check it out.
Well, some of those voices you've heard thus far, to my left, same cast of characters. What's up, Dan Duncan?
I'm good, man. I'm good. We're here and excited to do this 2 weeks in a row.
That's what's up. Directly across from me, Mr. Show Baraka.
Hey, people, how are you guys doing? I'm here and I'm happy.
Yeah? Got some coffee in you?
Yeah, I got some coffee in my life. First of all, let's establish that coffee tastes terrible.
That's a lie. That's a good cup of coffie that I made.
No. Coffee and beer are the two things that it's just like nobody should have to learn how to enjoy something. It should either, when you taste it, it should be a natural inclination to be like, oh, this is good.
Absolutely, like crack.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's no question of whether or not crack hits you. It does. It gets the job done.
Absolutely.
Right? Everyone. Coffee and beer is like, what you gotta do is you gotta smell it, and then you gotta be around it for 6 years. And then after that, you gotta like keep it on the tip of your tongue, and then you'll start loving it. What? Why I gotta do all that work to like something?
Bro, I took at least 20 minutes to make you that cup of coffee. I need to give it a little more respect.
And it was like a half a pint. It wasn't even like, it was like, it does smell good. That's the one thing about coffee. It smells amazing, but it tastes so terrible.
It's like a Swisher Sweet.
That's what's up. Were you a kid, as a kid, Show, did you think gas smelled good?
I love gas. Markers.
Gasoline.
Clear. Yes, not just passing gas.
I did love the smell of my own brand. But,
really? Oh, okay.
But yes, gasoline and markers.
Yeah.
Until I found out it wasn't healthy to sniff. I was like, I'll stop.
Yeah.
I'll just sneak and do it now.
I got you. You were one of those kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
Catch you in the corner.
Absolutely.
That's what's up.
I still smell my Sharpies, though.
Do you? Well, ladies
and
gentlemen.
I'm not mad at you.
Keep it real.
I'm not mad at you.
That voice that you heard, ladies and gentlemen, backed by popular demand.
Yvette.
There it is. Happy that we have improved the show since David is out trying to make people laugh. And I'm sure he's succeeding. We're going to wish him well.
He's good at what he does.
He's pretty great at what he does. So we're just giving him a hard time because apparently he's too good for us.
Mm-hmm. Too famous.
So, how's everybody doing? Everybody good?
Good. I mean,
can't complain.
The dogs won 2 weeks in a row.
I ran around the house, lost my voice again.
So, you know, Dan's happy. That's all that matters to him.
Yeah. It doesn't.
We're going to lose this week. I picked us to lose this week.
Okay. Well, good. As long as you have that perspective, so you know, like, you'll be upset for just a day or 2 days, but not like a whole week.
It won't carry over.
Yeah,
that's what's up. Show Baraka, you still have an album that is coming out.
I do have an album that's coming out. The mastering.
Shut your face.
It's okay.
I'm joking. Please talk.
Yeah, the mastering is getting done as we speak, and I love the fact that it's getting mastered in analog. And so it's going to tape. So it keeps that feel that I want, not only in the mix process, but in the mastering process. I'm just super excited about this album.
What's up? Can we ask some questions about it? I feel like
you can ask. I'll give you 21 opportunities.
That is organic.
I just felt like a number 21. It just was in my spirit.
That is awesome. No, because we had a lot of people who, you know, they definitely liked what they were hearing about the album, even just us talking about it a little bit last week.
Yeah.
But Yeah, man. So I'm trying to think of a place to start with. Let's go with this. So you've already revealed that it's in mastering right now.
Yeah.
So can we say that the...
I'm only going to give yes or no.
Right.
Yes or no.
That's the rules of 21 questions. You know, I didn't know that was the 21 questions. You
I didn't know that.
Out.
I didn't know. I just right. I know 20. Is that what 50 Cent did on 21 questions? It was just yes or no.
I love you like a fat kid loves cake. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. No, I guess maybe not.
No. But I would say so. Is the album coming out in 2016?
I'll give you all straightforward.
Straight for the jugular.
Yeah, yes just, or no?
You're trying to hit home much? Yes.
Yes.
Whoo!
Hello.
Will I be trick or treating and rolling down the street to your album?
Oh, snap!
That was a good one. That is a good one.
That's good.
That's a good one.
Come on, precedent. That's number two. So.
Oh, man.
We got 19 to go.
Listen.
By the time this is done, we are going
to
have
like,
no.
Real talk, people. If you're listening to this, you're like, y'all know when his album's going to drop. No, we don't. He hasn't even told his own fans.
No, we have no idea. We have no idea when this thing is coming out.
Oh, gosh.
Yes or no?
We don't want to get you in trouble. So that was a good question.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That's what's up.
Genuinely excited about that number two question.
Are there any features?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are there only Christian features?
No.
Yes. Good answer.
Why are you so excited about that? Why?
Like, get them Christians out of there.
Yeah.
Yes. That's how I felt when LeBron won.
Yes. Like,
get them Christian warriors out of there.
All right.
Are there any women?
Yes.
Look at that.
Did Humble sign you simply so they could put a bunch of features on your album?
No.
Okay.
No, they did. No, they did.
All right.
Yo, is it... Did a Humble...
Are we keeping track of these questions?
We're at six.
Okay,
six.
Cool.
I got you.
Six, okay.
This is just a general... Did Humble Bee sign you so they could get rid of Jay Givens?
Oh, gosh.
Yes or no?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Just want to clear it up for
but
the
I will say this. This is...
Free.
Free, yeah. Mm-hmm. I actually... When I was in the process of signing with them, I knew he was leaving, and I was trying to convince him not to.
Gotcha. Yeah. Word.
Very talented individual.
Yeah, he's dope.
He kind of knows how to rap.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yvette, you got one?
Will there be a release in Atlanta?
Ooh. Partay.
Yes.
Okay.
So you don't have to go out to the West Coast. Because that's not where you're from.
First of all, I am from the West Coast. So Facebook says one of my largest contingencies is in the West Coast. So
that makes sense.
I got to do West Coast.
I literally turned down a move. Me and Allison turned down a move offer to move to LA this week. Yeah. It was a hard decision.
I'm pretty sure it was.
It was super hard.
The great country of California, bro.
I just couldn't move to Orange County. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, Orange County is a little different, but still. I mean, it's California.
Anyway, I digress. Let's continue on. We're on question eight. We have eight questions. We've asked eight questions. We have 13 to go.
I think you guys are running out of sauce right now.
Running out of sauce?
Yeah, I think the juice, yeah.
How many times did
no,
you...
No, I can't.
Oh, shoot. Yeah,
that would require
more than a yes or no.
All right, were you upset by losing any of the original? Because you see, for context for people, mm-hmm. there was an original album.
Yes.
That you and James Portier.
Uh huh.
Were
which
is
going back to Jamie Porty now. Which I don't. Anyway,
rebrand hashtag rebrand.
rebrand.
But were you sad to see that evolution to go from the old album? Did you feel like you lost anything, or do you feel like it just got better in the process? Do you feel like you lost anything in that process?
It's difficult. So I'll just say no.
Okay. Alright.
That's a good question though. If I could expound it more, it would have been really good.
Okay, well, yeah. we'll dive in. I'm sure this isn't the last conversation.
What'd you say?
You're more than welcome.
Nah, I'm not. That's when I do like the first spins with
Adon.
Okay.
That'll work.
I will say this album is amazing. That's all I'm going to say.
So is this album amazing?
Yes.
That's
10 questions
right there.
This album is amazing.
Oh, man.
So okay. Is it a traditional Southern album in any way, shape,
absolutely
or form?
Not.
Praise Jesus. God, look at that.
First,
amazing.
You were hating Christians on the album. Now you're sitting there praising Jesus. Let's go, Dan. Schizophrenia worship.
Are there any tracks where you feel like you were highly experimental?
So explain experimental, because I have a perception of what I think experimental is, but
so
I mean,
maybe
I
outside
you.
The norms of what people might expect from you.
Yes. But now I'll expect, but yes. I'll just keep it to a yes or no.
Come on, that was a good question. That was
just more so because I think what people, oftentimes when people think experimental, like they think of avant-garde
drum and bass.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. No, it's none of that. Yeah. But there's some things, definitely some sounds and some
that you play
that and a style all overall that I haven't done before. Okay. Yeah. But I think people got that with the whole Louis Portier though too. Mm-hmm. So
as excited as you are about the album, which we can tell you are,
mm-hmm.
Is there anyone that you wanted to get on the album that you were not able to get on the
absolutely.
Album?
Absolutely. Like realistically, absolutely. And now we could talk about
that. Yo, I was trying to get Prince right before he passed.
There was one person that was really, really, really close, which still may happen.
Interesting.
Ooh.
That I was willing to push the album back to try to get.
Wow.
Yeah.
That we'll look forward to following.
Yeah, we'll
up
find out
who
that.
That'll be
good. If they do make it. So the Louis Portier album was going to be a lot of live instrumentation. Did that carry over into this album?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. I'm excited about that.
Any slow jams?
Any baby making music on the album?
No. I would say no baby making music.
That was another question. Slow jam doesn't necessarily mean all of my question. I just meant like.
Well,
note
about. Yeah,
I didn't mean to hide.
Note
slow jams.
Slow jam. In the true fashion of slow jams,
gotcha.
Right? And no to
and
the baby
purpose
making.
Of slow jams.
But yes, so. There's songs that are close to that.
Okay. I'll ask the question. So you are kind of, you know, you paved the road of like, what is a love? Because Christian hip hop typically has not done love songs, like in the true sense of like romantic love. Is there a love song on this album for your lovely wife?
Yes.
All right. 16. We got 5 left.
Oh. We can do this.
Ooh. Let's go. Let's go, Reggie.
So I'll ask this, and if you want to expound on it, feel free to.
All right.
But of course, with the rules of the game, you not have to.
Okay.
Does the album sound like what one would come to expect from Humble Beast?
I'll have to expound. I'll say no, but the thing that I love about Humble Beast is that they are Humble Beast does a great job of branding their music and their label kind of differently from what typical Christian music or just hip hop in general sounds like.
I'd agree.
And so for me, this album, it fits that mode. It's continuing the Humble Beast mode of it's not like other music, especially other hip hop music, better yet. Yeah.
Okay.
Are there any tracks where you are expressing the emotion of anger?
I don't get angry anymore. So I learned that.
That's a lie.
That didn't go over well.
I learned in order to sell records, you gotta be angry with a smile. So yes, there are some. There's some. Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
There's some.
Okay.
Do you have a song on the album?
I feel it's coming.
No.
Oh, okay.
I ain't saying nothing. Do you have a song on the album?
With a Don Bean. I'll ask it.
That wasn't even a question. Not at all.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
That's a wonderful question. Yeah, like everyone should know. But no. My question though, legitimately though, do you have a song on the album where you're just spitting? like where it's just bars that aren't like topical, like, you know what I mean? Like, do you have that?
Yes. And a half.
Yes and a possible. Yes and a possible.
Possible. I got a possible. I got a possible.
Not a full just, commit.
Yeah, yeah, just know that.
Understood.
Yeah, we may get set. I don't know.
It's debatable.
All right, we got one last question. We have 20 questions. Okay, I'll ask this one for the fans.
All right.
That have been waiting for this album and hit me up on the DMs like, hey, when's show gonna drop his album? Because we've been waiting for a year and a half now.
Okay.
Is there any chance this album does not drop? That you pull the plug, that you get perfectionist moment and you're like, it's not good enough anymore.
No, absolutely not.
All right, good.
Absolutely not. That's not happening.
Spend too much money.
Absolutely.
Spend too much money.
Somebody.
That's it. Somebody. That's it right there. Bro, yeah. It's happening. It's definitely happening.
Well, we're excited.
Yeah, that's what's man. Up. Thank y'all for those questions. No, yeah, it was kind of fun. It was kind of fun.
Kind of fun. That's what's up.
A little nerve-wracking.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit.
But that's what's up.
Because I'm a talker.
Fourth exclusive.
And yes
though.
And no, we know. And yes and no is difficult to just.
Yes. And,
you did well.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. But
what,
no.
One thing, you know, one thing about the yes and no is this. People have asked actually about the and part. They want to know about the and campaign. How's mm-hmm. that been going for you, sir?
It's been going well, man. It's a lot of things. Moving in this particular space, there's a lot of things that you've been asked to like to keep in, you know, keep privacy on certain issues.
Sure.
But I will say, man, the opportunities that we've had just in the short period of time has been crazy. Like people we've met with, people who've reached out to us. It's mind blowing, actually. Like I'm sitting there like, what? Because
yeah.
I know me and I'm like, I'm underqualified for like, to address these issues. But it just also speaks to the need, like where our society is and the desire to hear a different voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, and the funny thing about the Lord and you talking about like faith, he doesn't always call the individual who's most qualified. He calls sure. people who's that's faithful, right. who's available and who's willing. And I think that's kind of like what the AND campaign was. And I got to definitely give a shout out to two individuals, my brother Angel Maldonado and Justin Gibney, who are like, you know, co-laborers in this joint. And there's a whole bunch of other people who's a part of it. But when we came together and decided to do this thing, like we were definitely willing to slow play it. It's one of them situations where it's like people are asking to be a part of it and we're just like, man, we don't know, like how do we integrate people in the situation in the mm-hmm. sense that we're still trying to figure out how to create infrastructures ourselves for just Atlanta. And so, but it's dope, man. Like hopefully one day I'll be able to sit down and talk about the meetings that we've had. Just know that I've heard some stories about Obama. Some private stories about Obama. that has got me tripping. I was like, wow, it's pretty deep. So he's a pretty interesting character. So
that's what's
I'll just say that.
That's good to hear, man.
Yeah.
And it's definitely one of those things that I think even early on, like it's not like last year, like you were you kind of had just like an idea
mm-hmm.
about it and I guess had a meeting or two and then just seeing this thing kind of
unfortunately
explode.
Like most things, tragedy kind of propels the, like it intensifies the need for stuff like that.
Right.
Cause we put our first event, which Adon was a speaker and Yvette was there, was in February of this year. That was the first time we kind of came publicly mm-hmm. about it. And we had a decent amount of people there, close to 200, I think people, yeah. which is pretty dope.
Yeah.
Was it the prayer service you're talking about?
No, this was the event we had at
the Blueprint
Church.
Oh, cool.
And then eventually we did some other stuff that was more low key when Justin was running to be a delegate mm-hmm. and we did some demonstration stuff.
Which congratulations to him because
he did.
He was elected, right?
He was elected and went on to Philadelphia. But then when the whole, what really took, when it took flight is when the Castile murder Alton Sterling murder. That's when it was like people were like, we need to do something and we don't know what to do. And it was just like, well, let's just get together and start strategizing how churches can be intentional about addressing these issues and not just be complacent in their silence or complicit in their silence, better yet, and complacent. And so it was, it's just dope because, and I guess that's a, it's a good transition into the stuff that's happening now. It's just what's frustrating for me, right, is that, and it's interesting because the AND campaign has put me in a lot of opportunities, not just AND campaign, but like Talented 10th, I think started it all off for me when I was getting ostracized when I was writing songs about Oscar Grant, and I'm talking about Rakia Boyd before, you know, well, Oscar Grant was a big name at the time. He became bigger when Fruitvale Station. But people like the woke folks knew about, and I hate using the term woke, but but yeah, but anyway, folks who knew what was up, they knew about Oscar Grant, and they knew about Rakia Boyd. But a lot of people in the Christian circle that I was vibing with, they didn't know, and they were, you know, this album's too black, this album this, and I would, you know, get ostracized. And then once people started recognizing, once the Trayvon thing kind of blew up, once the Michael Brown thing hit the fan, that's when people start realizing, like, yo, you may be onto something. And I started getting more speaking opportunities. And so when you come to this week where we have these two murders again, kind of like similar to the Castile and Sterling murders, it's so interesting,
double,
right? And so I'm at a point of exhaustion. Like, I'm at a point where I'm just so frustrated because it's just fatiguing and it's paralyzing because you're like, yo, like, what tangibly can I do? Like, and I understand prayer, and I don't want to minimize the impact of prayer, and I don't want to make it seem like this is something that's cliche, but I also believe that God calls us and drives us to action. And with our prayer, you think about Nehemiah prays, and he's like, Lord, what do I do? And he's like, well, I'm compelled to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild my city because it's in shambles. And the Lord was pleased with that. And so I'm trying to think through, what can I do? The reason why I also, when I get fatigued, I also realize that it's somewhat selfish, is because, like, there are my white brothers and sisters who are, and even some black people who struggle with this issue. And so they need assistance. They need awakening. They need help. And if I continue just to just be fatigued and say, you know what, forget it, I'm sick of talking about this issue, then these people won't be alerted to why this is important, why this is such a dire need to address these issues and help assist them. And so, like, I got a speaking engagement with some very influential Christians next month. And I'm sitting here like, man, do I really want to do this? Do I really want to sit in front of these white men and talk about this issue? Because I know for a lot of them, it's going to just hit deaf ears and maybe fall off. But then again, it's like, it may not, because I've seen the Lord do some amazing work in brothers and sisters in the city because of the AND campaign. And so I'm compelled, and I'm just like, yo, so there's times of fatigue and there's times of paralysis, but then I realize, man, the Lord is good. And the other thing that keeps me going is, it's so easy for us to look at take a snapshot of a civil rights movement and just look at that as just one event that just quickly turned the legislation and politics in the state of America. That was about a 15-year period.
Word.
15. You think about 15 years of labor. And I'm just talking about just the time period in which Martin Luther King was involved.
That's right.
Right.
I'm not talking about the other times, you know. Right. So you just think about that moment. And then, and the times after, like, that led up. We don't think about the Montgomery bus boycott being 368 days or 69 days.
Basically a year and something.
And I'm like,
we look at the highlight reel.
Exactly.
And it's like a Facebook post, like, your year, the civil rights. You know, and it's not anything like that at all.
So true. So true. I would even say, you know, all of those points I think are very important. And I think even in this little moment right now that we had with, of course, the killing of Terrence Crutcher in Tulsa, and then you had, was it Keith Lamont in Charlotte. And I just left Charlotte probably like a few days ago. But I would even say, I would even go back like 3 days prior to Tyree King, who was in Columbus, the 13-year-old kid who was killed, very similar in ways to Tamir Rice. Yeah. And you know, I completely feel you with, like, I think when I came in, Dan, you were kind of just like, you tend to be one or two ways of dying. Like, you're either like disheartened, like just, you know, you just kind of the wind knocked out of you, or you're just numb to it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, on that spectrum, I've been more numb about these most recent killings. And it's tough to fight against that, you know, urge to feel that way because of the frequency of it, the gravity of it, the almost like script like way this mm-hmm. unfolds all the time, it mm-hmm. feels like, you know, mm-hmm. Or as it's been happening. And I think, you know, we want to talk a little bit also about media coverage, I think, with it too. I'm really big about, like, you just know it, just feeling like I like feeling called to be like a storyteller ultimately in whatever I do. I feel, you know, there's a subtle part of like power that's in controlling when a story begins and when it ends. And I feel like what the media does a lot of times is they will tell you when this story starts, and they'll start the story at the riot. You know what I mean? They'll start the story at
that's when it,
at the riot, and then you know, people go and say, "Oh, look at this cause, which is the riot." And you're like, "No, that's not the cause. Like, this is the effect of something."
Right.
And when you and it's this almost self-fulfilling thing where, you know, where the rioting is what gets the attention.
Yeah.
So why, you know, how do you rationalize with people in the sense of saying, hey, when we are protesting the other way, no eyeballs come upon it, no cameras come out for it, whatever. Mm-hmm. But when we do this, right, when we're in Baltimore and we're burning down a CVS, mm-hmm. does it make sense? No. But does it make sense to get attention? Yeah, it kind of does, as destructive as that might be. And the other part of it too is that I think, you know, even in those stories, like, you know, whenever they talk about since Ferguson, and I want to go like, this didn't start at Ferguson.
It did not. Can we be clear?
This isn't some crazy epidemic that like began 2 years ago. It's so, you know, I think having that long view that you're talking about is really important for even in assessing the problem, even in assessing the issue, to say like, hey, this isn't something that just randomly began in 2014 or 2013. And so now it's, you know, explode. It's like, no, man, this is decades upon decades.
Absolutely.
And there you might even go back centuries to just this interesting morph of law enforcement
and Reconstruction
from slave patrols to all the way up to mm-hmm. into this way.
And the more exhausting thought, or even more exhausting thought, is that it won't change with just police reform either. Our political reform.
Right.
There's more than
that. Is a component, exactly. A very serious component, very but serious it is component. Not everything. It is not comprehensive. Yeah.
Yeah. There's two things that I when I think about prevalent issues nowadays, especially when it's something divisive as, you know, police brutality, is that one, we can't fight our battles on social media. Like, that's not where the battle's won. And I think so often we gauge how successful something is by
if it's trending
or if I'm winning like people over on social media,
right?
And that's not, because most times the most incendiary voices or the most polarizing voices go to social media to try, they troll you, or they, you know, mm-hmm. And that goes on both sides. Those are the people who advocate for issues and for the people who,
antagonize,
you know, antagonize the issue. Mm-hmm. Because one of the things I will say, and I say this in all humility and discretion, but one of the things that I've seen in the short period of time with the AND campaign is how we've influenced politicians. Mm-hmm. Like, just in the meeting with them, like, there was one politician we met with, and then immediately, and we talked about our platform issues. 2 days later, this is a Republican. Mm-hmm. 2 days later, he writes an article on the dangers of police brutality and for-profiting policing, mm-hmm. and consistent patrolling in minority communities. And we're sitting there just like,
wow, that's amazing.
So people are like, when you have sensible conversations with people, there are people who listen. I think the problem is because the election is so polarizing, and you have individuals like Donald Trump who brings out, I think, the worst of a particular party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the problem is that we like to think the worst of our enemies. And so, and because this world is so, because not this world, but because in these day we're so divisive and we want to create such a hard line between people, we lump everybody on the right in this particular camp. Right. Yeah. So there's no, we don't believe there's anything sensible about the right, just as the people on the right don't believe there's anything sensible on the left. When I think what we're really struggling with is the extreme on both cases. And I think right now is what we see in running for office is somewhat the extreme of both cases. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And so all the sensible people in the middle who are more centric or people who are just, you know, slightly left on this issue or slightly right mm-hmm. are being lost in the sauce of all this ridiculous conversation. So that's why I'm saying, like, one of the things that I've learned about this is that I'll still tweet. The crazy thing is I feel like I have to tweet something. Like, right. I read this article recently about how, like, it's this idea of, like, social is like activism bullying in a way.
Like,
it's like
shaming.
Yeah,
right?
Shaming.
Like, celeb social, shaming.
It's
like,
exactly. It's like you're not in the in crowd if you don't voice your opinion. Yeah. And I have friends who like, yo, what up? You ain't gonna say nothing about this?
Right, go in.
And I'm like, well, dang, I got to now. Like what if I just want to just be quiet?
I need
quiet?
A minute to process.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Like, you guys know how I feel about this. I've said
read the feed. You know what I mean? Like, go back a couple.
Exactly. Right? Yeah, and so I do feel like oftentimes now what's happening is that because of the shame, I mean, a lot of people just jump in and say stuff and they don't really have any much productive to say. So I do think there's times where we need to start thinking and processing through things rather than trying to take our battle social media. I do think social media has its place, though. I do think social media is beneficial. Mm-hmm. But it's also a place. It's a cesspool.
It has limitations.
It has extreme limitations.
Yeah. And something that you said, I just want to go back to, I think is really great, that you're meeting with politicians and just that whole space of negotiation. When you look back at, like, at civil rights, that was a huge step in their process.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It wasn't just that, yes, they did information gathering. Then they educated people. Then there was this negotiation, which preceded the direct action. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times people just go straight to the street and there wasn't this moment. But the goal was that they would win over their enemy instead of win them, oh, you know what I mean? Mm. In that space.
And it's the so right enemy, too. It's the right enemy.
Like, or your opponent, whatever it is.
Because this is the thing,
know?
Though, too. And I think oftentimes we're trying to win certain people that they don't need to be won. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not trying to win the dude who's wearing a Confederate flag, Confederate hat, camouflage, like that. Right. Like, and I know I just stereotyped a lot of people.
No, but the people with dog in their avi, like a
exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Like, that dude. Oh,
yeah. That like, guy and it's probably like, not the best use of
time. Right. I'm not trying to win that.
Yeah.
But there are certain people that you can win.
That's
and you
right.
and you appeal to their sentiment, you appeal to their, you know,
their goodwill,
their self-interest. Yeah, and their goodwill. And you figure, like, because there's certain people who, even if they don't agree with you, you try to figure out, like, this will benefit you in a way because fill in the blank.
Right.
So, and I think oftentimes we spend too much energy trying to convince the folks who are sending hate mail to, like, the Sean Kings and
Absolutely. And
the D-Rays and all those folks that, no, this is a legitimate cause. Like, you know what? I'm not concerned about you. I'm concerned about the people who actually make decisions and people who seem
Absolutely.
To have some sense about them.
Yeah. And I think you need more of that. I know we were talking earlier about, like, what are solutions, but I think you need more of that. You need more of that type of leadership that's in rooms, because we always look at civil rights and we see the marches and so forth and so on, but we didn't always know of all the back room
Absolutely.
Conversations and this kind of space of leadership that was like full-time citizenship. You know,
yep.
I think, you know, it's part time to kind of be here on social media, but it's almost like you need to fund activism where you got leaders that are constantly focused on that. Right.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you're part of an organization, but it's in your free time. It's when you can kind of get to it. But people are being shot every single day. And I think there just needs to be a financing of the movement a little bit more so that you can
Absolutely.
Have like dedicated full-time people working on the solutions and getting the infrastructure in place and planning everything and taking those meetings, because, you know, it happens 1 month and then 2 months later, it's happening again on a larger scale. And it's like a woman in labor, but like, you can't get to the hospital fast enough, you know?
Yeah. My only concern with financing is you got to be careful who's financing, because one, you're a slave to the lender in a sense. Mm-hmm. Right. And then two, people tend to try to discredit you by the people that fund you. Right. So for us, we're careful about taking money from certain organizations or certain people, because if we, like, say some wealthy conservative says, hey, we want to back this.
Right.
And they don't even ask. They're not even like saying you have to do X, Y, and Z. I know, like, the moment we step out and we communicate something and they're like, but doesn't such and such and such fund you? So apparently you have some self-interest.
The politics.
Yeah,
involved,
it's like, oh, right, they're lobbying you to, and it's like, nah. So there's a lot of that that happens, because I know even Black Lives Matters is dealing with that, and the, with the whole George Soros funding, and dealing with a lot of controversies on where money is going in the St. Louis area. And I don't know, I'm not privy to that, but I just know there's a lot of controversy on that. But the other thing is I forgot. Oh. Yep, I straight up forgot. Dan, talk to us, bro. Until I think of what I was.
Yeah. You know, I was sitting here and there, I had a lot of thoughts. But I was genuinely thinking, you know what? This is what people like me need to do. Uh-huh. They need to sit around tables and they need to listen. Yeah. I'm so tired of people who look like me, who grew up like me, offering suggestions about why this isn't a big deal, why there's media bias. And I'm exhausted. Like, I'm like broken over, obviously, the situation, but furthermore, like, compounded by the fact that so many people are so just choosing to be ignorant. There's not even, there's a level of ignorance that I can, like, I can forgive, because I was one of those people who grew up believing that the race was fair and everyone had the same shot. But then when situations like this come up, it forces you to come to terms with the fact that it's not fair. And it really takes one or two conversations and people not being intellectually lazy about having those conversations. Yeah. But typically, people who live in the suburbs who look like me choose to be intellectually lazy by dismissing this as media bias or what's the big deal, black on black crime, insert excuse here. And for me, it's exhausting just weeding through these excuses, and I can only imagine and why I sat silently with these thoughts that I'm now throwing out on the table, how much more so for people that not only have to deal with that on one end, but live this every single day. And so for me, I'm a little torn even, and as I'm thinking out loud, I think it's Chris Rock, Stephen A. Smith, I think, quoted him this week talking about why Chris Rock turned down like a town hall meeting in I think Chicago or Detroit.
The one that First Take did in Chicago,
maybe, probably. and it was asked of him why he turned it down, and Chris Rock was like, I'm gonna wait for white people to start talking about these situations, because we could talk about this all day.
Absolutely.
We could go around and round.
Absolutely.
But it's gonna take, so I'm torn, because I'm like, I'm one of the white people that's just like, man, I don't know where to begin. Mm-hmm. But yes, change.
You're a good white
justice.
Person to talk about it, because you're conservative. You're admittedly conservative.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
I think the wrong white person to talk about is white people who are liberal hipsters, like, mm-hmm. because they're easily discredited with you're just a liberal, libercon, a liberal, whatever the terms are. And so I'll go even further as to say, it's not just white folks. We need conservative white folks to start speaking up loudly about it.
Absolutely. And again, it's so funny to me when I hear like the I'm like especially like ramped up on this media bias thing, because a lot of the people that I grew up with, friends with on social media, Facebook, the media bias thing was by far the most consistent kind of use to disarm this whole situation. And what's so crazy to me is that Fox News, by millions of viewers, is the largest political channel on TV, yeah. by millions. So if there is media bias, if that in fact exists, then the bias is towards the conservative viewpoint. And I am one of those people. So let's not pretend that the cards are stacked against us, conservative white folks.
Yeah.
Let's not offer that up as a valid excuse for why this is not something that you need to deal with, because this is something that people, innocent men, and women mm-hmm. have died on this soil, and we're pissed about someone taking a knee to draw attention to this.
I will say that, amen. I will say amen, amen, amen. And I will say, I just thought about this. It probably is. It's going to take not just one. It's going to take a lot of conservatives to speak. Because I can even remember, like, when Newt Gingrich made a comment about it being more difficult for black people. Like, just like last month or a month and a half ago, he made this statement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. People were like, But I will say this. I do believe in media bias. I am strong. I believe, being someone who works in television and film, I definitely believe in it. I believe in propaganda, and I believe that because they're obviously owned by companies and they have an agenda, right? Yeah. But I just believe it's consistent on both sides. I don't believe it's
Thank you for pointing out, because I do believe that. Yes, I think what Adon's point earlier, like to be able to say when a story begins and ends and have that power is immense. At the same time, I genuinely believe too that, you know, that it balances out across the spectrum, and that there are voices, a lot of voices that you know, I'm trying to think of guys that kind of walk between the aisles, but talk shows at night that don't seem to have an agenda to push people in one way or the other, but just simply force people to come to terms with the fact that this is a very real reality.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you have Tim Scott, the senator in South Carolina, he came out and talked about how he got pulled over, like 7 times. And like, he was just like,
actually, if I'm not mistaken, it wasn't even pulled over. It was stopped entering into the Senate office. Like, do you remember
going
that?
To work?
He was stopped multiple times. Like, who are you?
And
he
like after
I'm
a while,
an elected official.
Exactly. Like, after a while, like, if this is the same routes, people should know. Like,
right.
So you got him. You had, like I said, you had Newt Gingrich. You had Marco Rubio talk about this issue. You've had conservatives who's been open about this idea of racial bias in America. But as you said, because of Fox News is a monster, you can't change that. Like, you can't change that narrative, that river easily.
Mm-mm.
Like, that calls for a whole type of reconstruction for you to be able to change the direction in which that river flows.
Yeah.
And it's not in the best interest of Rupert Murdoch and the individuals who own Fox.
No, yeah. They need their contingency to be as fired up as possible and as entrenched as possible. Entrenching is by far, I think, the thing that is happening now, where people are in the middle. They're stuck. They're in no man's land. But the peoples on both ends of the spectrum are entrenching themselves, getting ready for the election in November. I think both sides would love to ignore the two deaths that just happened, because I think it complicates. Again, I think as hard as these situations are, they reveal the reality of the situation. Meaning, this is the fabric of our country. Mm-hmm. Murder of innocent people is happening. So, as hard as these situations are, they force us to come to terms with the fact that we are not this great country that's everything is hunky dory and we can go to work and come home and park our car in our fucking garage and pretend this isn't happening. But we would love to do that. We would love, people listening just are, would, I know that there are people that are listening to this that you're just like, why is this complicated? Why you're complicating my life right now. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to go home and I wanted to take care of my kids and I wanted to provide and I wanted to put food on the table and I wanted them to go to college. And I'm telling you, I understand that desire, because we all sitting around this table have that desire right now.
Yeah, it's real, because I mean, we don't even have to leave this room to hear a ridiculous story. My uncle, when I was 11 years old, was murdered by police for trying to cash fake checks. Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's a criminal activity. But does he deserve to be choked to death?
No.
Because he was trying to cash fake checks in a parking lot? Right. It was on the news. You can still Google it to this day. Rick Rankins. Mm-hmm. And this is in Arizona during the time when they were doing a controversy of celebrating Martin Luther King's birthday. Mm-hmm. And so you tell me that this could... I've been pulled over ridiculous amounts mm-hmm. of times for stupid stuff. And then been asked, are these your children in the backseat? Yeah, I just like to pick up random black children and drive around the city. That's what I do. Because, you know, that's what's hot in the street.
One, that's an epidemic, picking up random black kids.
Exactly.
That unspoken for black kids, everyone's grabbing those, right?
Miss yeah. me.
That nonsense.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So I think that as uncomfortable as that this is making people be, and Colin Kaepernick's kneeling is as uncomfortable as you know, change and... we cannot allow these lives to be that we've lost to be in vain. And you know, a Dawn song with Alex Faith, Dark Matters, like I kind of go back to it. Cause again, the very notion that we can take a noun and make it a verb in the sense of murders. You can say Tamir Rice and the image is murder. To me is just, man, that is, if we can't just as humans deal with that reality and say something has to change, then, you know, I don't even know where to begin. And that's yeah. what kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. I would say, you know, just kind of wrapping up everything. I think that we kind of all kind of process this in very interesting ways. You know, there's this long, humorous, painfully humorous skit or idea out there, right, about calling into work black, you know what I mean? Like calling off work black, saying like, hey man, I can't do work today because of like the recent news and just what that feels like of having to kind of go on and put on your game face when you're mourning, you know, and like, and what that feels like. But I would, you know, I think that, you know, one of the things, all of us at this table being believers, like we all kind of get back to this place of striving for hope, even when we don't feel it, of pushing towards hope, mm-hmm. even when we don't see it, of trying to muster up like that desire and that push to guide humanity to a better place. And I think it's the reason why we all do the work that we do, whether directly or indirectly. But it's, you know, it's tough. And this is one of those times when it's really tough. Like after when these murders happened and, I just, you know, I was numb, like I couldn't do anything about it. And I just wanted to shut down, honestly. And, this is probably like the first time I've actually talked about it publicly. I didn't want to say anything on Twitter because one, similarly to what you're talking about, show, like, I just felt like,
what new do I have to
yeah,
say?
Yeah, I've said it before.
Absolutely.
And or somebody out there is saying it better than I could muster Absolutely. To say it right now. Absolutely. So why do I have to weigh in at this point?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So I just would kind of, you know, just do that or whatever. But, you know, I know that to your point as well, show, like, I think that a lot of people definitely asked us to talk about this and we will, you know, as best we can, we will. But I will say that it's definitely one of those things where we don't have the answers, but we are certainly dedicated and focused on, having these conversations and having these conversations off air when no mic is there. Like
yeah,
we
true.
Are very, very dedicated in that way. So we will continue that. We're going to end side A right there and move on over to side B. So, yeah.
Was that an hour?
It was 51 minutes.
Oh, man. Look at y'all.
Look at that. Let's do it.
Lights low and the curtains open. And I'm the maestro for this certain moment. Trying to take a